Thank you very much. And thanks to all of you for participating today in the sixth IRFA Summit. This has become a really great event for us to focus on the importance of biofuels. And you've had a great lineup of speakers here today. And this also is a very important topic, I think. It's about the synergy, if you will, of the livestock and ethanol industry. I want to weave one other element into my discussion today as part of this panel. And first of all, I'll go to our mission and tell you how all of this, I believe, ties together. Here, very simply, is what our Iowa Corn Growers Association and our Iowa Corn Board, Iowa Corn Promotion Board, live by each day. And our goal is to create opportunities for long-term Iowa corn grower profitability. Now, of course, it's focused on the corn growers, little c, little g, corn growers across the state. But let us make no mistake about this mission statement. It's not just about corn grower profitability, because we realize that without the profitability of those of our customers who we serve, there's no way we can be profitable. So what are those key segments? Well, traditionally, of course, one of the most important segments has been the livestock industry, our beef, our pork, our poultry sectors, and our dairy sector. Very, very important. More recently, of course, we also have had we've had a lot of export opportunities, which has made us a significant player on world grain markets. And then, of course, the advent of the ethanol industry over time for the ever-increasing corn crop that we were growing. So today, I hope as I go through in the few minutes that I have with you, I can demonstrate how this mission statement relates to all three of those sectors. Thought I would start with a little graph here showing you how these markets fit together. Where is our current corn crop going? This is for Iowa specifically. In the next slide, I'll show you our national numbers. As you can see today, we have the bulk of our grain going into the ethanol sector, and you'll see the livestock sectors there to the bottom right of the pie chart. Exports are at 16%, and then you see the other processing, industrial processes, high fructose corn syrup, etc. So that's what the 2011-12 marketplace looks like for Iowa grain, Iowa corn. And then from a U.S. corn perspective, it shifts a little bit. And you can see that it's about a third of our corn goes into the ethanol dry milling industry. About a third of it is in the livestock and poultry sector. And then the remaining third is split between other industrial uses and exports. And yet another way to sort of graphically look at this, and this is very, very important here, the top green line is the corn supply. And you see that we've not only got a graph here that charts historical production, but also looks at an outlook of where we think things are headed over the next few years. And we've used the Pro Exporter Network numbers, Bill Hudson, for those of you who also utilize his services. These are statistics that we've taken from him. So the green line at the top is corn supply, and you'll notice that that corn supply, there's quite a bit of white space in most cases between our total usage and corn supply, which is good. That means that we're meeting all of the market demands for our corn. We'll go clear to the bottom of the chart. The red there is feed use, and you see that that's relatively level overall. But one key factor in here, of course, and you've been hearing about it all day, it's the distiller's grains that come from the ethanol sector. A third of every one of those bushels that goes into an ethanol plant comes back as DDGs. Again, you've heard that a lot, but I don't think we talk about that enough, especially when we look at a chart like this. So you'd take the distiller's grains and add that to that bottom red, those red bars, to look at true feed usage. Then also you can see the other processing in the gray bar, and then in yellow, of course, that is all of that corn that's now going for ethanol. And the top bar, of course, are exports. And what's great from an economic standpoint, I think, about this chart is there is a very admirable goal out there that suggests that perhaps if we could figure out a way to process every kernel of corn that we grow in the state of Iowa, what would that do for our economy? Look at what we've done. In the last 30 to 40 years, we've gone from probably somewhere between 25 and 30% of our corn being exported to now, from Iowa, it's only 13% of our corn being exported. We figured out how to add that much more value to it here before we export anything. Now the question is, of course, aren't exports important? Absolutely they're important. And I'll get into why that is so key. First of all, here's some numbers that you can look at specifically comparing this most recent year as well as what we project for next year. So we had a carry-in coming into this last year of 268 million bushels, and you can see that that represents about 9% of our total crop. You can see our acres planted and harvested, a yield, we wound up with 172 bushels per acre, and our total production was 2.3 billion bushels here in Iowa. This, again, these are Iowa-specific numbers. The next line down is the one I really want you to see. It's 692. What is that? 692 million bushels. That is the increase from the 2001-2002 crop year. So you heard Secretary Northey talk about how he likes to go back to 2002 and look at the numbers. Where were we then and where are we now in terms of total cash receipts? This tells a huge story right here. When people talk about there being competition for corn between food and fuel, one of the biggest parts of the argument that they regularly leave out is how much more we are producing, not only per acre, but we've also grown our total acres of production. So back in 2001-2002, we had a 1.664 billion bushel crop. And as you can see, last year we had 2.356 billion bushels. So all of that, if we go back a couple of this slide here, that growth that you see in the yellow is only possible because we've been able to increase the total supply. A message, again, that we need to repeat, I think, over and over and over again. For 2012-2013, you can see the numbers. We're looking at a little lower carry-in number based on usage, but we're also anticipating that this next year that the overall percentage of the crop will be a little higher because we had a larger-than-expected crop coming out of this last year. And you'll see that we expect acres to also increase slightly as well as yield. And of course, this is all dependent upon Mother Nature, but those are the trends as we see it. Now, specifically as it relates to both, I'll go into livestock as well as ethanol, and how is Iowa Corn as an organization supporting these industries? First of all, the corn industry collaboration, it's very important for us to work with Iowa Corn's traditional partners. And we do that in a lot of different ways, which I will be illustrating here in a moment. These are specific goals, again, that come from our strategic plan. Grow the markets for corn co-products, and meat in foreign countries, especially those with a rapidly growing middle class. Support the livestock and poultry industries in their legislative and regulatory initiatives where appropriate. Maintain and build demand for the livestock industry. And then finally, promote corn-fed pork, beef, eggs, and dairy to consumers. How do we do this? Well, through a number of research initiatives. Matt actually mentioned one earlier. We have had a tradition at Iowa Corn of working very closely with all of our livestock partners here in state to find ways to use distillers' grains to help. We had a major beef quality initiative a number of years ago. It's probably been 8 or 10 years ago now that helped move the beef industry forward. It's that collaboration, that partnership, I think, that makes Iowa such a strong place agriculturally. It's the working together, and research has been a very, very big part of that. Other industry collaboration efforts include, like, the USMEF, a fantastic organization that represents the beef and pork and lamb sectors overseas. The big players at the USMEF, of course, are the USDA and also the national checkoffs for both pork and beef. Iowa Corn, however, has the distinction of being the single largest grain contributor to the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Why? Well, for us, Iowa being the number one pork-producing state and also the number seven cattle-producing state, we talked about that value add. The more we can process here of every kernel of corn, the better it is for us. And so for us, being a very strong supporter of U.S. red meat overseas is very, very important. Also, CSIF, the Coalition to Support Iowa's Farmers. Hopefully you've all heard about that organization. It is made up of many of Iowa's ag groups, including the pork, the beef, the dairy, the poultry, the turkey, Farm Bureau, corn, and soybeans. We all sit around the table on a regular basis. We have staff. We're figuring out how to grow communities, and grow the farming population, grow neighbors, one farmer at a time, trying to help people manage the livestock industry in an appropriate manner. Again, why is Iowa Corn as a third party involved in this? Because we have a huge stake. We have a huge stake in making sure that the livestock industry in this state is successful. So we were a founding member of that group. I'm currently serving in my third year as president of that group, so that puts me very close to what's happening in the livestock industry, and I've got a stake in it, a real stake. And finally, we meet regularly with the commodity groups to talk about this food and fuel issue. A lot of things nationally have been occurring between our national groups and disparaging things said about ethanol and what it all is and what it isn't. And what we've said very clearly that from an Iowa corn perspective, the best thing that we can do is to reach out to our livestock sector and be able to figure out collaborative things that we can do here that make it work. If we can't figure it out here in Iowa, I don't think there's any way we're going to be able to figure out how to bring this industry together at the national level. And I'm really pleased to say how well we as commodity groups do in working with this whole issue. So now the link, and again, you've heard about this. This is almost obviously anticlimactic to this group, the link between livestock and the ethanol industry, and that's that co-product, DDGs. You can see here that we've heard a lot about the DDG replacement value for corn and how much of that then goes into final feed rations. It is absolutely critical that Iowa corn be supportive of DDGs, and we've helped support a lot of research to make sure we find the feed added value as well as to support exports. So here comes that third sector that I mentioned earlier that I was going to visit about. Although we're sending less corn directly from Iowa overseas as a raw grain product, we're sending more and more of our product processed overseas, which is much better for us. We've had significant investments in the U.S. Grains Council, which is one of the key organizations to help take DDGs from the U.S. marketplace and send them overseas. Now, you might say, well, hold it. Don't the livestock guys here in Iowa, aren't they frustrated by the work that we're doing to try to get those DDGs sent overseas? Well, I think Matt had a great chart up there. What he said was you could see the corn equivalent value of DDGs and feeding it in the rations. It's still a very, very competitive feed ingredient, meaning that we're using all the DDGs we can here. The industry is producing enough for us to export away from here, and so it's actually a win-win for both the livestock and the ethanol sectors. And ultimately, from a corn grower perspective, it works out well because both markets, both of our customer bases are being served well. So now we'll slip into a little more overall goals related to ethanol specifically. We've got some specific goals that suggest that we would like to see our corn to ethanol market grow to 20 billion gallons by 2015 while still providing corn and corn co-products to the livestock industry. We want to continue to collaborate with other groups of similar interests so that we can achieve some of the things you've heard a number of our speakers today talk about. 100% flex fuel fleet, higher blended biofuels. We need to continue to defend and expand the renewable fuel standard and also increase our ethanol infrastructure. Bottom line is growing the demand for corn and corn co-products and meat in foreign countries, we believe, will have a very, very beneficial effect, not only to corn growers, but to all the customers that we serve here in Iowa and to our overall economy. Some of our corn ethanol programs and outreach things, we've talked this morning through a number of speakers, have visited with you about all the things we need to do to get the word out about what ethanol is and helping consumers understand the importance of ethanol to our economy. And here are a few things that Iowa Corn has been doing in recent years. First of all, an American Ethanol Partnership between NASCAR, Growth Energy, and the National Corn Growers Association. Iowa Corn is very involved in this initiative, and it is a way to reach 80 million NASCAR fans. We're now entering into year two. We had a great year one, and we think that it is a program that will continue to pay good dividends over the next several years. We're soon to enter our sixth year in supporting the Iowa Corn Indy 250 out at the Iowa Speedway. What a great time for the Iowa Speedway to have been built and for IndyCar to begin using fuel-grade, 100% fuel-grade ethanol. It was a great marriage for us, and it's continued to be a great platform for us to not only talk about ethanol, but we've also spent a tremendous amount of time talking about the co-products, distillers' grains, the livestock industry. In fact, we've used the Iowa Corn Indy 250 as our communications platform because we have such a great broad reach with a lot of media outlets, that for whatever issue is key during the course of that year, we've used that as our platform to communicate those messages. And invariably, they center around livestock and ethanol. We also, out at the Iowa Speedway, have a big emblazoned label right out on front, right on the track apron, that says, powered by Iowa corn ethanol. There isn't a race that's run out, there isn't a weekend of races that are run at the Iowa Speedway now that does not contain ethanol. It's pretty phenomenal when you think about it. If you go back not all that many years ago, we were begging people to talk about ethanol. Now not only do we have IndyCars there, not only do we have NASCAR there, we've even got the other series of racing there. And what's most important about that is that race fans follow their product sponsors. We know that we are having a direct link to people where fuel matters, they understand fuel, and we're gaining acceptance for the importance of ethanol. And then finally, the Iowa Corn Cyhawk Series is one where you might say, well, that's totally different sporting events. How does that tie in? Again, it's a platform for us. For us, it's about how we reach Iowans here. If you're an Iowan and you, on game day, you are paying attention to what's going on with the Iowa State football game or the Iowa State basketball game. This gives us the opportunity to talk about all those messages, agricultural generally speaking, but just as importantly, ethanol and livestock as well. It has been a really good place for us to talk about what we do and what our corn farmers do so well here. A lot of additional ethanol education and promotions, as you can see, pump promotions. We do lots of surveying. We do dealership training to help with folks understanding how ethanol works. We do a lot of things with flex fuel, direct mailings, billboard campaigns. We've given away several flex fuel vehicles at various events. We have a biofuels mobile education center, which we partner with several Iowa ethanol plants on. We also work with the BYO ethanol national campaign. There at the bottom of this particular slide, you can see the one of the billboards that we use. And we've gotten really great feedback on all of these promotional activities. So this slide, I think, sums it up very well. These are synergies of the Iowa corn market. And you see here in the middle of the slide, you've got your corn. And as you go around, corn goes into the livestock industry, corn goes for exports, and corn goes into the ethanol industry. And then as you follow around the outside from the ethanol industry, we have the co-products going into livestock, livestock ultimately going to exports, and then the other way around with ethanol, DDGs also being exported as well. It truly is a sustainable cycle and one that I think we here in Iowa can be extremely proud of creating because of what it's done for our economy. So Iowa corn farmers will continue, we believe, to meet the growing demand for all of our marketplaces to include feed, fuel, food, and exports, and not only this year but into the foreseeable future. And with that, I thank you very much.
You're certainly, as you talked to start with about profits, many of us have been farming a while now. It doesn't seem like as long as maybe what it's been. I've been farming 30 years. And as you look back over that time, the first 25 years, most of those years, net corn price was less than the cost of production. And thankfully, we had the government policy that allowed some support and all that. So we had a livestock industry as well that was dealing with low-priced corn. Over the last 5 years is the first time in history where you put years back-to-back where corn prices have been above the cost of production. It's a whole new world. It's a new world for us as corn growers. It's a new world for the livestock producers as well. Certainly, it's an accomplishment that corn growers and a lot of other people have had a part of in making sure that happens.